Greetings. Welcome to episode 29 of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. Here we go. We're getting into this new saga now. Things are looking interesting so far. A couple interesting things to say specifically about this episode, obviously, in a minute. But before we get into that, take a moment to remind all my listeners that I used to host two other podcasts. One called Republic City Report, which is a Legend of Korra podcast. It was also Geekly Dose. We talked about everything geek. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, you want to go and check those out. iTunes as well as Stitcher Radio or Stitcher.com. Obviously, they both have apps. And if you happen to listen to those shows now and you want to leave me a review for either one of those, make sure you do that. It's still valid. I know they're kind of old, but obviously any sort of support that you show will only help all of my projects out. That being said, obviously you can leave me a review for Rock the Dragon also. Now, once again, as always, if you want to send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com for our segment called What Are You Saying? You can also hit me up on facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast and send me a message there. So with that being said, I do have a couple emails here that I'm going to read before we jump into this week's episode. So without further ado, let's get into that. So the first one here is from Brent. Brent emails me, messages me somewhat frequently. Brent, thanks as always. Says here, hey, I don't know if you saw it advertised, but there's this new Dragon Ball app game called Saiyan Frontier / Fusion Frontier on Android. Okay, so Saiyan Frontier is the iPhone version and Fusion Frontier is the Android version. Okay, kind of like Dragon Ball meets Pokemon and Final Fantasy a little bit. Been trying to figure it out myself. It was the right price and in all caps, free. yeah, Brent, thanks for letting me know about that. I did check it out. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I probably played it for about, I don't even know if it was even a full minute, but I did check it out. It's definitely confusing. Yeah, I would say that. It's obviously one of these games that was made by some third party like person who probably has no actual permission whatsoever to even make a game like that. And it's probably made from some foreign company because you can't even understand a lot of the instructions. It's kind of like really bad translations of everything. So it's very confusing to try to figure out exactly what's going on. It doesn't even seem to be any instructions at all. So with that, I mean, I don't play many games on my phone anyway, to be honest with you. I've never been a big gamer in terms of my smartphones. So I knew I wouldn't play very long, but I at least wanted to look at it so I can give my thoughts on it. And I mean, it looks good. I mean, the actual characters are in there and they have their right names, because at first I wasn't sure. I was thinking, is this going to be a game that's like a really like a cheesy Dragon Ball knockoff, and they'll just kind of make the characters look like them but have subtle differences and have different names? But no, from what I could tell, they all have the right names, and even some of the music from the series is in there. Graphically, it looks pretty good. It's just I'm not really big into RPGs, and this is kind of an RPG type of a thing. And plus, I don't play a lot of games on my phone. So for that reason, I probably won't play it again. But I appreciate you letting me know about it. And if you find anything else like that, let me know, because I mean, I always try it out, because all it'll take is that one awesome game to come along and make some changes for me. Maybe I'll start getting more into iOS games. But if that sounds like something you're interested in, check out Saiyan Frontier on iPhone or Android. Now, I will say this. It seems interesting that the game is called Saiyan Frontier when, as far as I could tell, now granted, I only played the game for like 40 seconds, but I saw a lot. It seems like the game is Dragon Ball, not Dragon Ball Z, right? Because the two characters that you were allowed to choose from, at least in the beginning, was Kid Goku and Kid Krillin. So I don't know if it's one of those games that to where it just starts with Dragon Ball, and then maybe when you progress far enough, it becomes Dragon Ball Z and those characters come in there. I mean, with a name like Saiyan Frontier, you would think so, but I don't know. So, Brent, I'd actually like you to let me know. I mean, just, you know, you said you were trying to get more into it. So if you play it more and it starts to get really interesting to you, just send me a message. Let me know. All right. Thanks. Okay. So I got another message here from one of the earliest listeners that I can recall having. Certainly the first listener who ever reached out to me, and that's Steven. Steven, thanks a lot. Like I said, Steven is certainly one of the first listeners that I am aware that I had. So it's always good to see that you're still listening, that you're making your way back into things. Steven writes, "Hey, Tim, long time no talk. I got a new job, so I fell behind in Super the last month and a half, but I'm back in and all caught up. I listened to your last episode and I wanted to say great job. I feel like my Super experience would be incomplete without your show. I'm so intrigued by this new arc and I love the idea of the 12 universes and the origin of the Dragon Balls." Steven, thanks a lot. Always good to hear from you. Once again, man, thanks for the compliments. I'm pretty sure you've already left me a review. I could be wrong, but if not, by all means, you know, share that positive info that you have there with my other listeners or other potential listeners on whatever outlet you use to listen to the show. So I'm intrigued by this new arc also. I do have to say, I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, I was dying to get away from the Frieza arc, even though I felt like it did end on a pretty good note. Obviously, I had already seen Battle of Gods and Resurrection F, so a lot of that stuff I already knew about. I'm excited to start heading in a direction where I don't know what's going to happen, you know, minus a few spoilers that, you know, I may have come across over the past couple months. But for the most part, all of this is new to me. So I'm intrigued by it. I'm excited about it. I did have a couple sort of, I wouldn't say complaints, but questions, concerns about a few things, but they actually address some of that in this episode, which is always good. So, with that being said, let's jump on over to the episode talk for this week. Of course, this episode of Rock the Dragon Podcast, episode 29, is going to cover episode 29 of Dragon Ball Super, titled "Combat Matches Are a Go. The Captain is Someone Stronger Than Goku." Okay, so let's see this episode. You thought I was going to talk about the title, didn't you? Admit it. You thought I was going to talk about the title because that's what I've been doing. And technically now I'm actually talking about it. So you were right. But I'm going to stop picking on these titles because they're obviously not going to change. Okay, so I just want to go back for a second and say that. All right. So the episode, unless the title's just something completely fucking outrageous and spoilerific, which I'm sure will happen again. Okay. Last we heard here, they had just decided they were going to hold a tournament between universes 6 and 7 in order to determine a winner. And that winner, of course, this is between, you know, the gods of destruction, Beerus and Champa. And if Champa wins, he'll get planet Earth transferred over to his universe just to make it more convenient for him to essentially eat the food. And Beerus would get the 6 super Dragon Balls that have already been located. And we can assume the 7th Dragon Ball when and or if it is located as well. Okay. So this is pretty much where this episode begins. They're kind of talking about the tournament, right? You're talking about just kind of going through a lot of the specifics about it, you know, the rules, regulations, locations, etc. And Goku and Vegeta are there to help with this because they obviously Goku has a lot of experience with these tournaments. And he suggests that we just kind of base it off the World Martial Arts Tournament. It's something we mentioned before. Obviously, that's a reoccurring thing in the Dragon Ball world. There's always every couple years or 10 years or whatever. there's a World Martial Arts Tournament, so they're kind of going to base it on that. And even Vegeta puts in sort of his suggestions as well to, I think he said something about trying, he's just trying to make sure they find competent fighters, right? Because if they're from another universe, you know, you can't just go get some monster without a brain, you know, because they do exist. And they can be like Majin Buu, right? Like Kid Buu would have been someone who could have never participated in like a tournament, because his understanding probably wouldn't have been good enough for that. All he knew was that he wanted to destroy shit. So they need to make sure they get fighters in there who can actually understand the rules and the stakes and etc. So they're just kind of really talking about some of that stuff. Now, when they're talking about the potential place where they can hold the tournament, there's a comment made where they're talking about there's this planet that's just kind of like in the middle of nowhere, or and that it's not inhabited and there's no atmosphere, and it's just kind of like this barren planet. So they're thinking about maybe holding it there. But I think what is her name? Vados? Okay, because remember, if you listen to episode 28 of the podcast, I didn't know what to call her because I just couldn't understand. And I'm still not exactly sure. If somebody wants to send me an email, rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com, let me know that character's name. Okay, I realize I could just Google it, but I'm really, really trying not to Google anything Dragon Ball Super related, because the first thing that'll pop up will be a spoiler from the Japanese dub. Okay, because that's happened before. It'll be the first thing in the freaking Google search results. So in order for me to not be spoiled, if one of my listeners would like to take a moment, just send me the name of that character, just so I know I'm pronouncing it right. But it sounds like Vados. But you guys can let me know. Okay, but yeah, I think she says something about she's mentioning the fact that the sun near the planet is very small or something. I don't remember exactly, but I think it seems as if they end up going to that planet anyway, so I don't even know what the point of that was. But before Ciampa leaves to go prepare to set up everything for the tournament, he throws one of these egg food things back toward Goku. Goku kind of clumsily tries to catch it. I mean, he is wearing this big suit that weighs who knows how much, so he doesn't really do a good job at it. But what it does is, in the next scene, when Beerus and his companion are leaving, she makes a comment about it. She says, "Are you sure you want to do this? Because you could potentially lose the 6 Super Dragon Balls." And he's saying, "I'm not really worried about it. Did you see how clumsy that guy was catching the egg? I don't think he'll be a problem." Now, that's a very common trend in Dragon Ball. People always underestimate Goku. So rest assured, when they get into that ring, he'll be surprised at how strong these guys are. So then we kind of go back to Goku and Vegeta, and they take off these heavy suits, and they're talking about the tournament, you know, talking about who's going to fight first, and Goku saying he's going to fight first, and Vegeta's kind of disagreeing with that. I got to say this, and I don't know, for some reason it stood out more to me in this episode than the others, but this buddy cop thing or buddy comedy thing that they kind of have going on with Vegeta and Goku right now, I don't know if I like it, you know. Or maybe it was just this episode, because I don't know if it's bothered me much in the past. But I mean, one thing that we've seen since Dragon Ball Super started is that everything has been sort of over exaggerated, right? Like I think that they decided they wanted to make the series more kid friendly. Okay, that would explain a lot. It explains why they de-age these characters. Some of them look way younger than they should look. It would explain why Jaco is here, because he doesn't seem to really serve any other purpose for the most part, other than just kind of being like this fun little space guy who makes jokes. It would kind of explain why Emperor Pilaf and his crew came back, because they were very cartoony, and that's just the vibe I'm getting from Goku and Vegeta, and it's just so different that it's kind of starting to bother me a little bit. I don't know, what do you guys think about that? Because I mean, don't get me wrong, I want character development, and it's nice to see Vegeta not be, I guess, angry all the time in the usual way, but it's just such a different tone from Dragon Ball Z that I'm having a hard time kind of accepting it, you know. Even the way they deliver the voice actors perform these roles now are different too. I mean, but Goku's voice is like way higher now. He's way more exaggerated. He's way more childlike, I think, than he's been in the past. And even Vegeta, Vegeta's voice is like way higher and louder than it normally is. And I don't think that's coincidence. I think they said, hey, you know, we're trying to remarket this show to kids again or something like that, and maybe that's why. But for that reason, it's just kind of bugging me, you know. just kind of bugging me a little bit. I mean, I don't hate it, but it's just weird. Anyway. But yeah, that I feel like that kind of happened a lot this episode. So it just stood out more so to me than it normally does. Okay. So yeah, they kind of argue about who's going to fight first. But at some point, they do go back to Earth. Okay. Because they have to find, I think there's going to be like the tournament is like 5-on-5. So at some point, they're going to have to find who else is going to fight. Now, we do find out later on in the episode that Beerus has a fighter named Manaka or something like that. And obviously, that's who they're talking about in the title of the episode when they say the captain is stronger than Goku, even though you don't meet him at all this episode. So it's kind of weird that they would name the title that. But yeah, apparently, you know, there's someone that Beerus has fought that is stronger than Goku. That is the strongest person or thing that Beerus has ever fought. So we know that he'll be on their team. So that'll be three people, and then it'll be up to Goku and Vegeta to find two more. Here's a question that I have for you guys, and obviously this does not apply to those of you who have watched the Japanese dub, okay? Even though I love you guys too. Who do you think those two people are going to be? I mean, you can assume that one of them is going to be Majin Buu. But who would the other person be? You would assume Gohan, but Gohan hasn't been training, right? So he's kind of super weak. I don't think it could be Gotenks, because that's technically two people, right? Now, if he fuses, yeah, but that's only for 30 minutes. So who's left? Who am I forgetting? Piccolo? Well, I don't think Piccolo will work here either. I mean, obviously he's strong, but I don't think he would be able to survive in a fight like this. So I'm super interested to see how that turns out. But let me know your thoughts. Now, of course, if you already know the answer, don't say anything and don't pretend like you didn't already know the answer. I can tell. Okay. but yeah, I don't know. I guess Majin Buu and I don't know who else. Maybe future Trunks will come back. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Let's see. So yeah. They go back, they kind of talk about things. And now a conversation, this is something that they mentioned in the previous episode. There's a conversation going on about how to locate the Super Dragon Balls. Okay. So the first thing they think of is, well, let's go to Bulma, right? Bulma has made a dragon radar a long time ago that can locate Dragon Balls. I'm sure she can figure out a way to make one to locate these, especially if they're kind of made out of the same magic shit, whatever that stuff is. Now what I do appreciate here is their attempt at avoiding a plot hole, because had they not done this, someone, probably me, would have come on here and been like, well, wait a second, why don't they just ask Shenron to help them find the Super Dragon Balls instead of this shit that they're doing now? Well, they address that. Okay. Actually, they let Bulma herself suggest that, and they're all like, oh man, great, okay, awesome, good idea, cool, right? Makes sense to me. Us so far, why wouldn't he be able to do it, right? So they make that suggestion, and so then Beerus sends Vegeta off to go find the Dragon Balls. So this is all going very quickly. He's going to go collect all the Dragon Balls, come back, they're going to try to use a wish to find where the Super Dragon Balls are. At this point, I don't remember the last time they made a wish. I can't, but I'm assuming 6 months have passed, or a year, or however long it is in between for the Dragon Balls to become active again, right? Because the last time we saw them used was to bring Frieza back, I think. And unless I'm forgetting something, you know, and they didn't say for sure how much time passed between the Frieza arc and this one, but I guess we're just supposed to assume that it's been a year. Which is fair. So we see Champa and Vados arrive at this planet, and he also brings these massive Super Dragon Balls with him. Okay, so they're exactly what they sound like. They're super-sized Dragon Balls. They look exactly like the Earth Dragon Balls. They're just fucking huge, like the size of relatively small planets, I would say. But they look pretty cool. I mean, they're big. I don't know what I was expecting. I think I was kind of expecting them to look a little bit different. I mean, I guess they kind of have like this cloudiness inside them that maybe the Earth Dragon Balls don't have. But for the most part, they look the exact same. And then not only that, hell, it explains the title of the show now, doesn't it? Dragon Ball Super. I guess it was referring to the Dragon Balls this whole time. Okay. So yeah, we get a scene here to where they're just essentially designing the arena for the tournament. So it's a little bit of comic relief stuff here with Ciampa drinking some juice, and he wants concession stands, and Vados is creating the ring and the seats and all that kind of stuff, and you know, stuff that we probably didn't need to see necessarily. But I don't have a complaint about it. I mean, it's not any worse than winning the Cell games. We have to watch Cell spend like 15 minutes fucking making a ring. I mean, it's just something about it that just kind of like takes you out of it, right? Because you're like, okay, with them, it's okay. But with Cell, it was like, this guy's a villain. Why is he spending time like making a ring? Like, why is he designing a ring using telekinesis? You know, it's just, I don't know. But hey, it's Dragon Ball. There's always going to be something a little bit silly in here. Okay. So, yeah. So, they just kind of do that. They kind of make a ring. They kind of set some things up. And of course, Ciampa has to insist on having his concessions. Which, it's always weird also when characters just make food out of nowhere. Like, the fact that Vados could just make food generate out of thin air. Well, then it's like, well, why don't you just make him whatever he wants to eat? I guess that's beyond his powers. I don't know. I guess he can only summon food from their universe or something. I don't know. But yeah. So then we go back and we get a shot of Bulma from below with her tits looking a lot bigger than they normally look. So let's not pretend like we didn't notice that. They're looking like Dragon Balls now. But yeah, so she summons Shenron. So Shenron shows up, and when, you know, just to kind of skip ahead, he comes out. Obviously, he's surprised every time he comes out and he sees Beerus. But they kind of get to the point, and they make the wish, and they say, you know, tell us where the Super Dragon Balls are. He says he can't do it. Okay, it's beyond his power. He can't find some random object floating in outer space, in not even in outer space necessarily, but also just in another universe. It's just too, his power can't reach that far. It's kind of beyond his control. Okay, makes sense. I mean, you know, I'll let that slide, you know, because I don't think he's done anything that massive of a scale before anyway. I mean, we've seen him restore planets and bring back people back to life, but it's all relatively have been in his universe. So it stands to reason that that may be beyond his power, but I kind of appreciate the fact that they at least addressed it, because like I said, someone like me would have immediately given them shit for it had they not even at least attempted that. But what it doesn't explain, okay, for me, it just kind of made me think of something else, is that, well, why don't they ask King Kai where the Super Dragon Balls are? Okay, why don't they ask Supreme Kai where the Dragon, especially because they show King Kai right after this. Goku makes this joke where he's saying that, oh, there's something else I need to wish for. All right, I forgot I was supposed to wish King Kai back to life. And then they show King Kai. It's like, well, why don't you just ask King Kai with a damn Super Dragon? I mean, he can see everything from that planet, right? Now, unless it's the same thing like Shenron, and he can only see what's in within his specific universe. And it also stands to reason that maybe he doesn't even know that there's more than one universe. Because you think he would have mentioned that before to some extent, right? But then again, he knew about Beerus. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I feel like they're just kind of creating another potential plot hole here. And then there's Supreme Kai. So let's just say King Kai didn't have the power to do it. But what about Supreme Kai? What about Grand Kai? Let's not forget there are all these levels of these omnipotent beings that essentially look over the entire universe, you know? But maybe they can only see within theirs, which means, Universe 6 may have its own Supreme Kai and Grand Kai and West Kai and all this stuff. So I don't know, but it's just something I thought about. Yeah, not to mention, you know what, I think it's odd that we haven't seen Supreme Kai since like the Beerus saga. Like, what happened? Remember they were showing him and Elder Kai like every fucking episode to give us exposition about Beerus, and then they just disappeared and just haven't shown him since, even though all this other stuff is happening now, including Frieza coming back. They just weren't around for any of that. Anyway, so we go back to the arena, and we see that that Vados has kind of created like these, you know, they go back just long enough to make a joke about Ciampa's weight, which is something that is obviously going to be ongoing. So then we go back to Earth. They're all eating. And then, you know, Whis and Beerus say a few things and say that, you know, they're coming back at a certain time because there's only a certain amount of days they have before the tournament starts. I think that's about 5 Earth days, something like that. And they're saying they're coming back at a certain time. So then they fly away. Then the episode does something that is, I thought was so fucking weird. For some reason, they do a flashback to something that just happened, which I thought was super odd. Okay. So they leave, we go to Bulma, we go to everyone at Capsule Corp, where Bulma is working on the Dragon Radar. Okay, the big one, the Super Dragon Radar, whatever they're gonna call it. And then they say something, and then she says, "Remember what they said about this?" And then they flash back to something that we just saw. And I just thought that was a super unusual way of doing it. Now, we do get extra information this time, so I can appreciate that, but I don't understand why they wouldn't have just done that to begin with. You know, why wouldn't you just show that the first time instead of flashing back to something that we literally just saw like a minute before and showing us more of it? But the information that we get is important, I would say, because this is definitely something that, you know, I thought about as well. You know, it's, and this is something I thought about immediately after I recorded episode 28 of the podcast. I sat down and I said, wait a second. Why doesn't he just use the Super Dragon Balls? Why doesn't Ciampa just use the Super Dragon Balls to wish his planet Earth, the counterpart, the one in his universe, back in existence, so that he doesn't even need Universe 7's, I hope I'm not messing this up, Universe 7's Earth, right? And if you might say, okay, well, he doesn't have the 7th Dragon Ball yet, so he can't do it. He doesn't have the 7th Super Dragon Ball. Well, then I would have said, well, why doesn't he use Earth's Dragon Balls to do it, to wish it back? Well, okay, well, maybe he can't do it because from what we've learned, apparently those Earth's Dragon Balls and Earth's Dragon, his power can't go beyond Universe 7, apparently. Well, they kind of address it. So I appreciate that, you know, because Bulma brings up the question once again. This is their attempt at avoiding a plot hole here. It was just kind of weird the way it happened, but she just says it herself. She says, well, why can't he just use the Dragon Balls to wish Earth back or for the best food in the universe? And then Beerus gives off what I feel like is a pretty decent explanation. And this is something I kind of touched upon before when I was saying that deities wouldn't necessarily fight over the same things that mortals do, like, because I thought it was kind of silly how all of this was happening over food to begin with. But it's like, when you're all powerful and you can kind of have whatever you want, then you do sort of fight over the trivial things just to entertain yourself. So that, essentially, that's what he says, is that we don't want to make any wishes, you know, we just want to, you know, have a competition over something. So they kind of, you know, get themselves, paint themselves out of a corner, with that. Even though it's not the best explanation, but it's still something. But what I think it does most of all is, you know, Beerus makes this comment about, and if we did make a wish, you know, we'd probably wish for, you know, the destruction of the entire universe or whatever. So that's enough of a statement to get Bulma a little bit worried and saying that, you know what, if he finds these Dragon Balls, who knows what he may do with them. So it stands there. And I forgot to mention this, but early in the episode, someone mentioned the fact, Beerus mentioned the fact that Universe 7 probably has Super Dragon Balls also, because 6 and 7 are counterparts. So it stands to reason that they probably have their own set. So Bulma's now saying, let's use the Dragon Radar to find Universe 7's Super Dragon Balls. Just in case Beerus gets his hands on the other ones and makes a wish that we don't agree with, we can use our Super Dragon Balls to undo the damage, right? Because they wouldn't be able to use the regular Dragon Balls for that. They would need the super ones. So the plan has kind of shifted here, you know? Whereas it became, let's find Universe 6's, now it's let's find Universe 7's. And she's asking for Goku and Vegeta's help about it, and they're just with it, and they're just saying, you know what, we're not concerned with that, we just want to fight in a tournament. So she says, you know what, fuck y'all. I have someone who can help. I have my own method. So in a shocking, unbelievable moment that at this point doesn't surprise me in this world, we freaking find out that Bulma has a sister. Okay, now here's the thing. I do recall there being some notion, okay, of Bulma having a sister before. I don't know if it was in Dragon Ball or it was in a manga or something. Like, I knew there was a version of this where Bulma had a sister named Tights. I just didn't think she was canon. Am I missing something? Because they never fucking mentioned this character. So I knew she existed, but I just thought she wasn't canon. That's all, you know, like, cooler. Frieza has a brother, but he's not canon. You know, he's only in the movie. Vegeta has a younger brother. Once again, not canon. Goku had another brother named Turles in one of those movies too. Not canon though. So I just assumed that she was always not canon, but I guess they're saying, well, now she is. Just like Jaco, we're going to bring in this character that nobody knew about. Unless you were like a kid in the 80s reading Dragon Ball manga or something to where you could remember this kind of stuff. So Bulma has a freaking sister, and Vegeta and Goku didn't even know about it. So it's like, what the hell? Where has she been this entire time? You know? But hey, whatever, you know, I accepted it with Jaco. I have to accept it now with her. And apparently she has a pretty close relationship with Jaco, which is something that I think I knew. I think one of my listeners told me that when I was questioning Jaco's origin. So Bulma uses her to get in touch with Jaco, and we're just kind of led to believe now that Jaco has made a new ship sort of based on Frieza's technology. He can get around the universe a lot faster. So obviously she's going to try to use Jaco's ship to get to the center of the universe, because that's a better place to be in order to locate the Super Dragon Balls. Because where they are, it just doesn't make sense. They need to be in the middle so they can kind of get a better range, a better radius about everything. So essentially, that's pretty much where the episode ends. So yeah, that's exciting, man. That was a lot of stuff actually happened this episode. I mean, it wasn't a great episode. It wasn't a bad episode. It was good. It's okay. Pretty standard, pretty straightforward sort of a thing. I mean, it advanced the story for sure. We got some revelations in there that we didn't know about, you know, like Bulma having a sister and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool. So it'll be interesting to see where things go. Now, I think what's also interesting here is that we've gone two or three episodes now without seeing anyone else like Gohan, and so it'd be interesting to see where we stand when we go back to him, because we know that at least a year had to have passed by since Frieza, right, in order for the Dragon Balls to be activated again, unless I'm mistaken there. So that would mean that Gohan would at least have a year of training in with Piccolo, assuming that he's been doing that. So it'd be interesting to rejoin him and see what happens with that. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm excited. Some of this stuff is a little bit weird and, you know, I can poke holes in it. But, you know, once again, this franchise is not necessarily known for its writing. It's just it's more to it than that. So, okay. So I think that about does it for the episode talk. Once again, if you have anything, questions or comments about that, what are you saying? Send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you head over and like the Facebook page, facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast. I've been trying to get that thing to grow for a while. You know, I get maybe one or two likes every 2 weeks. That's really sad. So get over there, like that page, leave me a review. And we can see what we can do from that point on. Okay, so that about does it, guys. So until next time for Rock the Dragon Podcast, I'm Tim Bridgewater, and I'll see you next time.